Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, peace be upon you. I'm glad to be here. This is a very special service to me. 17 years ago, our family came from Hong Kong to Australia, having been called by a Chinese church here in this area, in the city of Stonington. Soon after I came, I got to know Nathan, having been invited by Father David of the Anglican Church to join the local pastor's fellowship meeting, monthly meeting. It was a lunch meeting. I remember when I stepped into the house of the Catholic priest, whose name I forget. Father John, yeah. Nathan was the first person to greet me with a smile and to talk to me. I will never forget that. Yeah. It's good to forget your good deeds. I will base my little sermon on Psalm 23, which can we have that on the screen? So it would be helpful, yeah. And I give it the title, The Right Master. Have you ever wondered why things go well with some people and not so well with others? I suppose you have all suffered under bad leadership. Bad politicians, bad bosses, bad principals, and even bad fathers, and sometimes bad pastors. How about having God as the leader of your life? Under his leadership, we will be able to enjoy life to the full. God is the right master. Very often, things don't go well with us because we are under the wrong master. Of course, I know there are other reasons, but because we are under the wrong master, the wrong leader is leading us. But God is the right master. He will lead us well. How does he lead us? First of all, he leads us from orthodoxy to intimacy. We notice in the psalm here, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. We have here Lord, God as a he. He makes me lie down. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. He. But then in verse 4, my table thou hast furnished. You have done that. From verse 4 onwards, we have a you. Verse 1 to 3, there's a he. When I was young, I had a friend at uni with whom I sometimes shared the gospel. And one day I said, I invited him to believe in Jesus. And he said this to me. He said, why are you inviting me to believe in Jesus? He said, you should invite me to believe in the teachings of Jesus. Why should I believe in Jesus himself? If I believe in Jesus, it's just like believing in a piece of stone. At that time, I was a bit stunned, but I knew he was wrong, but I didn't have the right argument, so I kept quiet. Now, there is a difference. There's surely a difference between believing in the teachings of Jesus and believing in him. Because as we believe in him, we have a relationship. We have a personal relationship with him. We can say, you, thou, Lord. We can pray to him and say, you help me. So, if I could see this young fellow again, I would tell him that we need a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we would be just believing in a set of doctrine. It's good to say, I grew up in a Lutheran church, it's good to say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in this, I believe in that. But isn't it much better to be able to call God Abba, Father? There's a great difference whether we can call him Father or not call him. If my children were good children, very moral, very smart, very intelligent, everything good, except one thing, they don't call me Dad. I would be very offended. Yeah. Likewise, God enjoys it when we call him our Father. And when we have a personal relationship with him, we will have the same feelings like King David, who says in verse 3, yet will I fear no ill. Your rod and your staff me comfort still. So we would have the feeling of not fearing. We would have the feeling of comfort. Now I know feelings are not everything. I know we need to be rational in our belief. Yes. But if a belief is only rational, it is not a true belief. True beliefs always gets down into your emotions. We always feel something. I will not fear. Yeah. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I know that a shepherd in those days has I don't know which is which. One is short and one is long. The short staff is the one tied to a piece of string, and when wolves come, the shepherd would throw the staff at the wolf and scare it away and then pull the staff back. The long rod is the one to comfort the sheep. When the sheep falls and is not able to stand up again, the shepherd uses the staff to help the sheep stand up again. I will not fear when God leads me that way. When I was a boy, you know, my dad is very unlike me. He's a martial arts expert. We ran into trouble with some gangsters, you know, who were threatening us to beat us up. So my dad said, I'll go to school with you. So with my dad going to school with me, I have no fear because my dad will protect me. I have no fear. So if we are intimate with God, we will have no fear because he will protect us. God will lead us from orthodoxy to intimacy, from orthodox beliefs to an intimate relationship with him. Secondly, God will lead us from simplicity to maturity. Now, when we look at the first verse, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in pastures green. That's very comfortable, lying down in green pastures. But then, verse 2 says, he makes me walk along the paths of righteousness. And then, verse 3, I will have to walk through the dark valley of death. So, God leads us from simplicity to maturity. It is good to be simple, but it's not enough to be simple. We have to grow up and be mature. To be mature is to get out of the comfort of our comfort zones. Get out of the comfort zone of pastures into the paths of righteousness and the valley of death. It is good to be simple, but better to be mature and simple. A mature person is able to get out of his comfort zone. There are people who want to stay in their comfort zone. They don't want to go out to work. They don't want to apply for work. God leads us out of our comfort zone into the uncomfortable thing. When I was a pastor here, after 5 years, you know, month after month I was meeting Nathan, but then after 5 years I had to part from him because I captured a multicultural dream. I said, an ethnic Chinese church has no future. We have to form a multicultural church with an Aussie church, with an Australian church. So I got this vision from God, and finally I went to Sindel Baptist Church, and we formed a multicultural church. That was the uncomfortable zone. There were members of my former church who said, why do we have to worship God together with the Australians? Some young people asked my son, I just feel more comfortable with the Asians. They speak good English. But he always socializes with people like him, black hair and so on, Asians. He said, I just feel more comfortable with Asians. You know. And my son said, Dad, what is wrong with being comfortable? I said, God has not called us to be comfortable. He has called us to be uncomfortable. Yeah. God has called us to do the uncomfortable zone, to reach out to strangers, to reach out to someone whom you don't know and say, hey, this is my name. What's your name? Welcome here. Yeah. God is always calling us to go out into the uncomfortable zone. So he is leading us from simplicity to maturity. God calls us to face the challenges with God the Father. Verse 4 says, my table thou hast furnished in the presence of my foes. There will be foes. There will be enemies. Yeah. Whether we like it or not, there will be enemies. Yeah. Some people say that I have no enemies because I turned them into friends. Good. But there will be enemies. Enemies are those who oppose us, who don't necessarily agree with us. But verse 5 is very, I think this version has 5 verses, whereas in my Bible I have 6 verses. Now, let me see which is which. Okay, verse 4. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Now, with God leading us, you know what happens? God rewards and he repays. It says here, verse 4, you have furnished a table, a dining table, in the presence of my foes. God rewards you. When we follow Christ closely, he rewards us. When we insist in being honest, when we insist in being loving, God will reward us. But he will repay those who are against us. Now, not that we enjoy in that. But there's a German word called Schadenfreude. Do you have that in English? Yeah. Schadenfreude. That means you rejoice over somebody's misfortune. Not that we rejoice, but that's the pattern. God rewards here, and he repays there. I don't have to do anything against him. I don't have to say anything against him. God rewards, and God repays. In the presence of my foes, God rewards me, and God repays them. That is what God does. I can give you lots of personal experience about how God has rewarded me and how God has repaid my enemies. Now, I don't want to mention them concretely because that can be terrible. Those repayments can be very terrible. But I know what God said. Vengeance is mine, he said. I will repay. I can testify that with my personal experience. But coming to the last point, God leads us not only from orthodoxy to intimacy, not only from simplicity to maturity, but also from temporality to eternity. Some people say that in the Old Testament, they don't have any concept of eternal life. Well, the concept is not that clear, but it's still there. That's why David said, goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This forever shows eternity. God lead us from temporality to eternity. And notice that he says, in God's house I will dwell forevermore. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, the Bible at all, the word house is used to mean a home as well. A house is a home. Now, it is the most natural thing for us to go home. After work, you go home. After school, you go home. After shopping, you go home. After church, you go home. If you don't have a home to go back to, that can be very miserable. Now, when we depart from this world, where do we go? There's a home. There's a heavenly home. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a house for you. There are many dwelling places there. It's the most important, essential thing, most natural thing to do. We all need a home. We all know that. A home is not just a house with four walls. We all need a home. There are intimate relationships in the home. Now, David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means David, in order to say that, now who wants to actually to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I used to be in a Catholic school in Hong Kong, and one day our teacher, who was a Catholic brother, he said, who wants to go to heaven now? We said, no, we don't want to. Who wants to go to heaven now? Now, we don't want to go to heaven now because we have not tasted the closeness, the togetherness with Christ here. If we have, we would be saying what Paul has said. He said, to die, to depart from this world and to be with Christ is better than anything. But for your sake, I think I better stay. Not because he's tired of life. Not because he said, wow, I'm tired of this sickness. This is such a pain. I'd rather get out of this pain and die. No. He said, to die and to be with Christ is the best thing. There are moments. I experience this only in piecemeal. There are moments when I really experience the closeness of Christ, how he has helped me in times of difficulty, in times of danger, in times when I fail. And he was with me when I was happy, when I really was thanking him for all his goodness. I experienced the closeness of Christ. I can't say with Paul, I can't say with David, okay, I want to go to heaven now. I can't say that. But I long to be able to say that. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the right master is the key. Why are things going well with some and not so well with others? The right master is the key. Follow the right master. Follow the right shepherd. The good shepherd is Jesus. Don't put yourself under the wrong masters. Who are the wrong masters? Ourselves. We are the wrong masters. When we want to control our lives, when we follow our lusts, when we follow our self-interest, when we follow our selfish ambitions, they are the wrong masters. You know those masters, they don't treat you well. Why do we have to follow those masters? We follow God. We follow Jesus Christ. Because the other masters don't treat us well. They may give us some short-term benefits, but they don't treat us well in the long term. And even on this earth, they don't treat us well. So this is my plea with you, that we all follow the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. Amen.